It is Memorial Day weekend, and this is the weekend that the nation pauses for a brief moment just to remember and reflect on the lives that were sacrificed for our country. It's so much more than just an extended weekend, a few days off, but it really is a solemn invitation for us to remember. It's a good thing for us to remember, to not forget the cost of our freedom. Rachel and I had an opportunity a few years back to go to Washington, D.C., and I'll be honest with you, the trip up there was one of sabbatical. I was in a bad spot and needed to rest. But we chose that area because there's a lot of history up there, and I wanted to kind of see some of it. And so we saw the Holocaust Museum. We saw all the war memorials, the Marine Memorial, and we even got to see George Washington's home place. In fact, there's a picture of me. If you can tell, it's a rocking beard. I kind of miss that beard, but this is me sitting on the back porch of George Washington's house. He would welcome guests from the Potomac River. They would come to visit with him. Enough of that, but I think one of the things that was the most moving for me is the visit to the Arlington National Cemetery. Anybody ever been there? The Arlington National Cemetery, it's hard to describe the feeling that you have surrounded by all of those white headstones, each one of those headstones representing an individual who gave their life for a greater cause. It's just a very powerful and somber moment to be surrounded by all that. But I remember with Rachel, I was telling her, we got to hurry up because there's the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I really want to catch that. So we made our way to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and there already been about 100 people that are gathered there. I just remember being overwhelmed with the amount of silence that was there. It was very quiet. The precision of the soldier with all of their hand movements, their marches, the handing off to the next soldier, the playing of taps. I just remember it being a very somber moment there. It moved me deeply. The silence, the precision, the reverence. And it's a living reminder that some things should never be forgotten. Would you agree with that statement? That there are things that we should never, ever, ever forget. So this is Memorial Day weekend. We should remember. But then it hit me. It's good to remember. Not just on a national level, but spiritually speaking, it's good to remember, because how many of you know God is faithful? And as a follower of Jesus, we are prone to forget from time to time. And so we need to remember nationally all the things that have gone on in our history, but we need to remember God and his faithfulness. When we forget as followers of Christ, I believe that we drift. And we don't want to drift. We want to remember today. And so today I want to ask you to turn with me in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the first five books of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, this letter from Moses to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and the title of the message this morning is It's Good to Remember. I want to look at a moment when God's people were told very clearly, don't forget to remember. And so with that, I would ask you to read along with me, and we're going to read the whole chapter. So when you're ready, say ready. All right, Deuteronomy 8, let's read. Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry, and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant in the hills, or it's abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied, along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge today your word, and your word is truth. And I pray, God, that you would help us to look into Israel's history and gain a level of truth for us today in our context, so that we would open our ears and our eyes to what you might want to share with us today. And I humbly ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So the book of Deuteronomy is, as I said, it's one of the first five books in the Pentateuch or the Torah. It's the fifth book of Moses. And this book is written as an instruction manual. In fact, it's mentioned many times as a book of remembrance. Moses is writing to the children of Israel after they've spent 40 years, say 40 years. They're 40 years in a desert. And it's the end of the wilderness experience. They're about to go on to the promised land that they had hoped for, they'd been promised. They were just right there on the cusp of a new life, a very bountiful, plentiful life. And Moses felt the need to kind of pump the brakes and prepare the children of Israel for that next step. And one of the greatest areas of preparation he felt was to warn them to never forget where they've come from, what they've experienced at this point, and never to forget who it is that they serve and who it is that they belong to. And so Moses hits this. And in fact, if you just go through the book of Deuteronomy, you'll see that word, remember, about 23 times. And you'll see some reference to do not forget, never forget, another 12 times. And so if you just look at the whole letter from like a bird's eye view, you see that Moses does not want them to forget that they once were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. And he's like reminding them how God miraculously brought them out of slavery in the middle of the night and led them to the point where they're at now. You remember the story? It was an amazing sight, I'm sure. A million men, not counting women and children. Some scholars believe it's about that many people who just in the middle of the night escaped slavery and began their journey toward freedom. I'm sure it was an exciting time. And then when they get to the Red Sea, they're hemmed in by two mountains and the Red Sea behind them. And now they see Pharaoh's army coming after them and they freak out, because they know that death is imminent, or they're going to at least recapture us and take us back into slavery. And these children of Israel witnessed the greatest miracle. We still talk about it today, the parting of the Red Sea. They walk across on dry ground, and after they walk across safely, even the slowest grandmas, right, getting across the Red Sea, then the Egyptian armies pursued them, and the waters closed in on them, and they all perished. The children of Israel witnessed some pretty amazing things, didn't they? He said, I don't want you to forget those things. I want you to always remember your deliverance from slavery. I want you to remember that there's only one God, one true God. They were accustomed to all these false gods. He says, you need to know that the Lord God is one. That's in Deuteronomy 6. He wanted to remind them of the protection and the provision that God had given them over these 40 years, the miracles, the signs that accompanied them through this journey. He wanted to remind them that obedience is greater than sacrifice, that as children of God, they were called to obey the decrees, the laws, the commands that he gave them from God. And he wanted to remind them that God is a jealous God and they should develop a fear of God, not a fear as in I'm afraid, but a reverence of a powerful God. And I think the verse that summarizes the whole book of Deuteronomy very well is Deuteronomy 4:9. It says, but watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Can you imagine what they've seen? He says, never forget what you have seen. Do not let these memories, escape from your mind as long as you live. In addition to that, be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. It's good to remember. And Moses wanted the children of Israel to remember. I want to focus on a couple of areas. He wants them to remember the journey, the past, or the road. And then he wants them to remember the provision. And then he gives them this warning at the rest of the letter. So first off, I want you to notice that he says he wants them to remember their journey. Remember the road. Look at verse 2. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you through. Say through. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness. See, the wilderness was not the destination. The wilderness was a means to an end. He's leading them to the promised land, and he wants them to remember the road. Now, this road was a hard road for Israel. It was a difficult road for Israel. It was an 11-day journey that took them 40 years. I've heard of people taking a 4-year college degree and turning it into 8. But to take an 11-day journey and turning it into 40 years is pretty epic, isn't it? It was a hard road. It was a road where they were worried where the food was going to come from. They're whining to God, and God lets these frosted flakes, you know, fall from the sky. The next morning, they're picking them up. I think it's what they probably tasted like, these frosted wafers on the ground. And they get to experience that. When they needed water and they were thirsty, God allowed the water to come from the rock. They had a difficult time in the desert. And I don't know if they're wired like I'm wired or if you're wired like I'm wired, but I tend to want to forget some of those roads that we travel that have been difficult. Anybody else feel the same? That's a chapter of my life I don't ever want to even consider anymore. I want to forget the past. I want what this divine amnesia. I don't want to remember how hard it was. But the road and the journey is important. And Moses wants them to remember the road because it was that road that God used to form the children of Israel, to prepare them, to grow them. I would want to forget. Moses wanted them to remember. God doesn't just deliver us to a place. He leads us through a process. He doesn't just lead them. It would have been so easy. Just bada bing, bada boom. You're a slave in Egypt, and now you're in the promised land. But God knew that that was not going to be good for them. So because of their fear of taking that step of faith at the Jordan, like at day 11 or whatever, he gave them a 40-year timeout. You're going to think about it. And during that timeout, God used that as a formidable experience for them, a formative experience to grow them and to help them. God used hunger and he used hardship to teach humility and dependence. It says he caused them to be hungry and then he would feed them with this food that no one ever even saw. He wanted them to know who it was that was with them and who it was that was providing for them. Why do we remember hard times? Have you ever gone through a very difficult season in life? Why should we remember those times? Because they remind us who was faithful in the middle of them. No matter how bad it might have seemed in the moment, and we've all been there, no matter how hard it might have felt, we know that we know that we had somebody that was with us in the middle of it. Amen? Jesus tells us in the Word, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. God says that in his Word. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. We know that we have the presence of God with us no matter what we walk through in life. And I have known people who've walked through some extremely difficult seasons in life. Hardships. But to look back, and it's always hard to see it in the middle of that storm or that journey, but to look back with perfect hindsight, hindsight's 20/20, and say, you know what, I've seen God's hand in the middle of that hardest season of my life. Anybody else can testify to that? See, we remember the road. We remember the difficult seasons because it reminds us of who was faithful in the middle. And how many know God is faithful? God is faithful. So don't despise the detour. God forges faith in the wilderness. That's a good reminder for us this morning that God has a tendency of forging our faith in the middle of our difficulties, in the middle of the wilderness experience. So Moses says, I want you to remember the road. I want you to remember how the Lord God led you through the wilderness. Yes, it was hard, but he was with you and he led you through it. How many know God is still leading us through our own wildernesses today? All right, so remember the road. Now remember the provisions. Look at verse 7. He says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. They've been 40 years in the desert. They were slaves for 400 years before that. And God's like, I'm about to blow your mind with what I'm going to let you experience. That food is going to be so plentiful. It's like a 24-hour buffet. It's going to be everything you want, everything that you could need. You need water? There's plenty. There's an abundance of water. You need grapes? There's an abundance of vines. There's trees there. You miss the shade trees of the desert? There's trees there. It is a beautiful, bountiful place. And on top of that, there are plenty of precious minerals there. The Lord God was leading them to a place of extreme blessing, but the blessing isn't the point. The giver is. The giver is the point. He's like, I don't want you to focus on the blessing. That's what I'm going to give you, but you need to realize where that's coming from or who that is coming from. In verse 18, it says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful. Let me go back. No, that wasn't the verse. Verse 10, look back at verse 10. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. When you've eaten your fill, when you've experienced this land that I'm about to give to you, when you experience abundance or prosperity or wealth or whatever it may be on the other side of the Jordan, when you experience that, you need to remember to praise the Lord your God. Why? Because he's the one that gave it to you. Amen? So remember the provision. I would say that we are blessed to live in the United States of America. Would you agree? We have the poor in our communities, but I have a feeling that, and I've been to some third world countries, that even the poorest person here in the States, not to minimize that or to ignore their need, but sometimes our poor, compared to some of the third world countries, is considered rich. We throw away things that would be considered extremely valuable to other people. We're blessed to live in the United States of America. Are you glad to be in America?
Yes.
I was in Honduras a few weeks ago, well, an island off of Honduras, and it looked extremely, extremely poor. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful area this is. But what an amount of poor there is there. And I'm just like, we're blessed. We're truly blessed to live in America. We live in a land of freedom. But we don't need to confuse our freedom with self-made success. I think God's had his hand on America for years. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Do you agree with that statement? So we are blessed to live in the United States of America. So he's like telling them, like I'm telling us, like don't forget what you've walked through. Don't forget the faithfulness of God and the journeys that he's brought you through, that he uses those to grow us and to prepare us for whatever it is that may be around the corner. It'd be a good reminder for us today to remember. It's good to remember. It's good to remember the road traveled. It's good to remember that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything that we have is a gift from God. Do me a favor. Take a deep breath. That was a gift from God. We need to remember the provision. It is God who provides for us, lest we become arrogant and feel like maybe we're making all this happen in our own strength and our own abilities. So then naturally Moses warns them after reminding them, hey, you remember the past, remember the road, remember the provision, and then he warns them about forgetfulness. And he says in verse 11, but that is the time to be careful. What time? When you're in the land and you're experiencing all that it has to offer, the plentiful, the bounty, when you're there, that's the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God. Because when you forget, you drift. And when you drift, you disobey the commands, regulations, decrees. He says, for when you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied, along with everything else, be careful. Say, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say, I've achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Be careful that in your plenty, you don't allow it to let you drift and forget who it is that made it all possible. Beware of forgetfulness. You know, the real danger isn't pain, it's prosperity. I think that we get comfortable. We let our guards down when things are going great. I think it's when the enemy of our souls, you know, plans his attack because our guard's down. We're not being sober, being vigilant, because our adversary walks around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Amen? Everything's great. And so in our plenty, we just let our guard down. The danger is not the pain, the hardships that we go through, but it's the prosperity. It's not when we're desperate, but when we are comfortable that we tend to forget God. In verse 17, he says, you'll be tempted to say that you've achieved everything you've got with your own strength and your energy. And I would remind us that, man, God's the one that gives us the ability, that gives us the energy, that gives us the mind, that gives us the job, that gives us just everything we need to do what it is that we do, right? It all comes from him. Forgetfulness leads to pride, and pride leads to destruction. I mentioned at the beginning that forgetfulness causes us to drift. I came up with an acronym for the word drift this morning. I was thinking about our recent trip. Rachel and I got to go on a cruise. First one ever. Highly recommend it. Great. We went to Honduras and off of Roatan, Honduras, the island there. And we went on one excursion called Fantasy Island. And it was beautiful. And it's like a 45-minute ride in a bus full of people. We get there. And it's not too crowded, but it is a little bit. And I was just amazed at how beautiful it was. The trees, the clear ocean, just the smells of all of those good things. It was awesome. And because they have this like buffet, you can eat whatever you want, whenever you want. I wasn't hungry at lunchtime. And so when they gave the announcement for everyone to go to like this restaurant to eat the meal that was provided as a part of this excursion, Rachel and I said, we're good. I had the whole lagoon to myself. It was awesome. Like this huge body of water, and there's these kayaks, and I get out on a kayak, and I thought, I'm just going to get out here and enjoy this. There's no people. There's no noise. It was just peaceful. And I get out there a few, yards, and I'm just taken back by the beauty. Well, first off, a little funny is, while I was on the beach before the kayak, a plane flew over. I stood up and said, "De plane, de plane." One dude looked at me and kind of laughed. Nobody else got the reference. I thought, man, I'm getting old. Do you know what I'm talking about? Fantasy Island, a little person named Tattoo. De plane. Anyways, only one person got it. Anyways, I'm now in the lagoon just enjoying the beauty. It's quiet, just thanking God for how awesome he is and that beauty that he's put before us. And, I turn around a couple times and Rachel's missing. I'm like, wait, she was just right there. Well, she's not there. She's way over there because unbeknownst to myself in my distraction, I drifted. And that's how life is, isn't it? Sometimes it's subtle. We don't realize it. It's like a heavy current, but it's just enough of a current to move us away from that anchor point, to move us away from where we know is safe and we need to be. When we forget God and we forget his provision and we forget to remember, it's like drifting slowly. And when we drift, here's what it does. It causes us to doubt. Like the times in the past where we knew that God was with us, we begin to doubt, is God with me now? When we drift, when we begin to forget, we might forget that God is with us, even when it feels like he's not. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When we drift, it causes us to slip into doubt. We might doubt God's goodness, but how many know he is good regardless of how we feel? When we forget, it causes rebellion. That's the R in the word drift, to rebel. We stop following God's ways. We start minimizing God's decrees, his laws, ways like, it's not a big deal. And we start doing what is right in our own eyes. And we really start getting into trouble. And some people even justify it and go, I know what God's word says, but let's drift. And we drift away into rebellion. We're no longer obeying what God's called us to do, but we rebel against him when we drift. When we forget him, I believe we drift. We rebel. The I in the drift is indifference. When we forget, we become indifferent. The things that used to move us no longer touch us like they used to, right? We just kind of go through the motions, just play the game, just do what we were always supposed to do, but the heart is not engaged. What does one of the prophets say? That these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. When we forget the Lord, we begin to drift and indifference sets in. The F in drift stands for false security. We begin to rely on our own strength, our own ability, our own cleverness. When hard times come, we're like, I got this, and we just try to fix it on our own. We forget that we have a God who is able, and there's nothing that's too difficult for him, and we get this false sense of security, like we got everything under control, but the reality is we don't. We have this false sense of security. And then lastly, the T there stands for what I said earlier, forgetfulness leads to pride, and pride leads to destruction. Now, I'm a big believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news, and it is good news that we're saved by grace and not by works. Amen? Paul said, I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. So I know that I know that I know that I'm saved because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I don't want to be ignorant or foolish to the point that I can experience some tragedy or destruction when I begin to drift and forget the goodness of God, forget the provision of God. And so tragedy can come from forgetfulness, and that could be spiritual ruin. How many people have let their guards down, and they've engaged in activity or something that they would have never done in a million years early on, but because of indifference and because of forgetting God and His word, rebellion sets in, and they begin to drift, and they start engaging in things that they never would have engaged in before, and then you see the spiritual ruin come, and they're just broken. We know that broken relationships can come as a result of tragedy, of forgetting God. We can forget how to treat people, and those relationships can get severed. We see this all the time. Missed blessings often follow the drift. And so, as I said earlier, I think forgetfulness is extremely dangerous for the life of the believer. That's why it's good for us to remember. It's good to remember. It's good to recall the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. It's good for us to remember even the difficult seasons of our lives whenever we've experienced some of the hardest things. And so how do we create these practical reminders today? This is what God told Israel through Moses. This is what, I mean, the whole letter is essentially like a book of remembrance. Remember these things. How do we create these reminders? Verse 18, he says, remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you power to be successful. Remember the Lord your God. He's the one. He's the source. So remember him. And so I think we can create these rhythms of remembrance. And I think one of the best exercises that we can engage in on a daily basis is that of gratitude. You know what it looks like? You wake up in the morning, well, I'm here again, God. Thank you for waking me up one more day. That's an easy one, isn't it? Depending on how your relationship with your spouse, you can thank them that he woke them up too, right? It's a joke. Anyways, we can be grateful to God for just another day. God, thank you for the breath in my lungs. Thank you for the house that I got to sleep in last night. Thank you that I didn't go to bed on an empty stomach. Thank you that there's a coffee pot in there that's brewing my favorite brew, right? Thank you, God. There's so many things to be grateful for. And we're called to be a grateful people, aren't we? And so if we create these rhythms, like just a daily, get up. And it doesn't have to be deep, big. It's just the things that we take for granted. God, I'm grateful. Just have a grateful heart. Have a grateful spirit to get in the practice of daily showing gratitude to God. Another one we can do is testimony journals. I'm not good at journaling, never have been, but there was a season in my life, one of the most difficult ministry seasons that I walked through, where I was vigilant to write down everything that God and I had talked about. I would go on these prayer walks, I've shared this before, and I would just jot down, God, this is what we talked about, and this is what I ask you for, and this is what I'm hoping in, and I would just journal those things. And I didn't think it was very significant at the time, but later, when God brought me through that difficult season, I look back, and I'm going, God, I see you all over those pages. I see you all over every circumstance. Even though I didn't see it in the midst of it, I see you. You are faithful. Sometimes those journals are just there as a testimony to remind us of God's faithfulness. Amen? Some of you guys are good at journaling. Journal. Write down the things that God is doing. Scripture memory. Just taking God's word and putting in your heart in those seasons when you feel a little drift, when you feel like I'm far from God or I'm burned out. I hear that a lot lately. Or when you feel like you're just kind of indifferent and all those things, like, God, I know that you're with me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I know that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. I know that I'm secure in your hands until the day, not that I screw up or I lose it, but until the day of redemption, the day he calls me home. That's good news, isn't it? So memorizing scripture in those seasons, especially when you need to hear from God and life is just coming at you hard, to have these verses in your head, in your heart, that you go back to as an anchor, these rhythms of remembrance. Another one that's a big one, I think, is a cool one. When's the last time you've done this? Family stories of God's faithfulness. When's the last time you've shared with your family of how good God is? When's the last time you sit down to your kids and said, let me tell you what God did for us this week? I mean, don't leave them out. Let them be a part of this because God is good. And as what he said in chapter 4 is like, make sure your kids know this. Make sure your grandkids know this. We should be sharing the goodness of God. Years ago, and I've shared this, there was this little lady named, we called her Sue because everyone struggled with her name. Shushinda was her name. And this lady radiated joy. And she would come to, I was doing these Bible classes at Seminary Extension in Amarillo at Emerald College. And she would walk in just like she was on cloud nine. And she would say, let me tell you what my God did for me today. I'm like, she's weird. I mean, that's what our normal response was, right? But it was attractive. It was like, I want what she's got. There's something about that when you share the goodness of God or what God has done for you in your past and you share that and you share it in your family. Do you know that there's a tradition in the Jewish tradition called a mezuzah? A mezuzah was a little parchment piece of paper and it had the Shema written out. And the Shema is the Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? You know that verse. It would have that on a scroll, rolled up tight, and it was mounted to the porch. The outside of the house was this reminder that every time they walked up on the porch, they had this visual reminder of God's faithfulness. These family stories, I think that's something we need to bring back around the table. We're sitting down, if we even use those anymore, but the table, you know, that little piece of furniture in the dining room or the kitchen, and you sit down to a meal, and you're sharing stories of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. That's a great rhythm for us to get into, to remember the Lord. He's worthy of remembering. So I would conclude with this. This weekend, we remember the cost of freedom. That's what we're celebrating. That's what we're remembering, is the cost of freedom. But let us not stop with national memory. Let us carry that on. Let us be a people who remember the Lord. Don't forget to remember. It's good to remember. Remember where he brought you from. How many of you could say today, and if you only knew my past, if you only knew the Egypt that I was stuck in, the slavery that he pulled me out of, God's amazing grace, he rescued me. Remember where he brought you from. Remember who you are. You've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember who you are. You're in his hands. You're his prized possession. You're the apple of his eye. All these scriptures that tell us who we are to him. Remember whose you are. You are a child of God. If you've placed your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you belong to the most powerful family ever, the family of God. It's good to remember, isn't it? It's good to remember. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would not forget just how awesome you are. I pray that we would always be mindful of your provision, your protection, your goodness, your faithfulness. Lord, the seasons we've cried out to you in brokenness, wondering if there's ever a way that we would get through whatever it is that we're going through, and you brought us through. Here we are. You brought us, just like Israel, through the wilderness. Lord, we know that the wilderness is not the destination, but it's a means to an end. And Romans 8:28 says that you cause all things, all these things that we go through in life. You're not necessarily causing them, but you have a way of using what we've experienced in life for good. You cause all things to work together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. So, God, we thank you that you're in control. We thank you that you see things differently than we see them. And God, you're just calling us, just like Moses is calling the children of Israel, to remembrance, remembrance. Lord, today, just a subtle reminder, Memorial Day weekend, a call to remember the sacrifice, the freedom that we take for granted. But God, even deeper than that is a call to remember you, to remember our spiritual freedom, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, rescued from slavery to sin, transferred into your kingdom of light. What a marvelous, marvelous good news that is. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to remember those things, that we would create these rhythms in our life where we're just always grateful to you, and we share our testimony to our family, God, that we understand that in this world we will have trouble, but Jesus says, take heart, I've overcome the world. We know that no matter what it is that we go through in life, we know that you are here, you're with us, and we know that you'll get us through it. And so, God, we remember today. God, we remember today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. You're worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.